Hello, everyone. I'm Command Sergeant Major Retired Troy Welch, and welcome to this edition of Soldier Today Podcast. Our newest discussion topic, especially for our emerging leaders and young professionals, is Principles of Leader Development, Leading by Example. For our discussion today, we take a closer look at Army Doctrine Publication 7.0, Training Units and Developing Leaders. So ADP 7.0 sets the tone for making mission command a commander's responsibility for unit readiness and leader development. The institutional schools we attend throughout our Army career teach doctrine and provide the fundamental information that enables leaders at each level of responsibility to contribute to the effectiveness of their units when they return. However, the key leader development opportunities come from operational assignments where leaders learn to adapt to new situations and personalities, learn from challenging and unfamiliar experiences where they can further learn the art and science of leadership. Operational assignments under the mission command concept provide regular and as-needed feedback where junior leaders learn from mistakes and learn to take risk and experiment with non-textbook solutions to solving problems and accomplishing missions. Commanders and leaders follow the principles of leader development to develop other leaders. Looking through the cards and letters from emerging leaders and young professionals, we have a collection of questions and concerns about influencing and developing soldiers at the team, squad, and platoon levels. So, this is a great subject to discuss, and the best person to have discussion here with is my co-host, SMA retired Kim Preston.
Oh, how we doing, Troy?
Oh, well, you ready to get into this, SMA?
All right, Sergeant Major, we're ready.
All right. SMA, you've been a teacher and advocate for developing and growing junior leaders throughout your Army career. You have risen to the ranks from private to Sergeant Major of the Army, serving in all these developmental assignments that prepared you for the next level of responsibility to serve. So for our listeners, in particular, the newly promoted corporal and sergeants, the newly commissioned lieutenants and warrant officers, what advice can you provide to the leader who has never led or been in charge of subordinates?
Well, Sergeant Major, first, thank you very much for hosting today's podcast. And, you know, as you look at our doctrine in the Army, it changes all the time to incorporate new technology and lessons learned. But there are some things in our doctrine that are timeless. As a young sergeant, I was taught the 11 principles of leadership. Today, those principles are more refined and focused in seven areas according to the ADP 7-0. If you look at, for what I learned, those 11 principles or the seven today, what they really do is they define what a soldier needs to be, know, and do. They served as a checklist, so to speak, that allowed me to assess if I was doing all the things that I was responsible for my soldiers and the things that I was responsible for as a leader. If you look at the 11 principles of leadership, 9 of the 11 deal with communication in one form or another. So it tends to reason then that communication is the most important attribute of being a leader. So the one principle that remains unchanged when you look at both those lists is lead by example. So starting with the Army's principles of leadership is always my go-to answer for new leaders.
Ooh. So leading by example is fundamentally easy to understand, but how far does lead by example go for, you know, a leader?
Sure. Well, in the Army, we are a standards and values-based organization.
Absolutely.
You know, we memorize the Soldier's Creed, and we learn the seven Army values when we go through initial entry training. But soldiers continue to grow and evolve when they get to their first duty assignment. If you think about all the places we recruit from in all 50 states and all the different territories, and you think about all those different backgrounds and cultures and values and expectations, you know, this year we will bring into the Army 70,000 soldiers from all those different locations. So your question about leading by example and how far does it apply to a leader, you know, I say it's all aspects of life. You know, as a newly promoted sergeant, I had to be the example for my soldiers to follow. Everything from how I wore my uniform, how I talked to subordinates, peers, and superiors, my physical fitness, how I acted with my family when I was out in public, even how I dressed, you know, in my off-duty time.
Basically, what you're describing is a life in a fishbowl. So everybody's got their eyes on you. So how do you teach a young leader, and quite frankly, their spouse, to handle the constant being under that scope, being watched, to always have that switch turned on, even when they're out and about, you know, during their off-duty time, as you described?
Yep, no, that's like right. So how non-commissioned officers talk to their troops is a classic example. And one of the things that I learned very early on, I've always used their rank, PFC Smith, Specialist Jones, Sergeant Wilson, whatever the case may be, Sir Major, you know, always with dignity and respect to the positions that those soldiers held, even if they were subordinates, peers, or superiors. And of course, how you interact with them, you know, is by your own example, setting the tone for how you expect others to follow in your footsteps. It's also important for the discipline of the organization and how you cohesively build that team.
Sure.
You know, I was very fortunate that as a young 20-year-old sergeant, you know, who was married in the Army with a young family, you know, my company commander in Germany, as an example, he was initially single when he got there. And then within a few months of arriving, he got married. And what was interesting, so this was a newlywed couple who had been together in less time than my own wife and I. But what I saw and what I learned from that company commander and his wife, Suzanne, was as a commander of an organization, how they set the example for all of those young married families. And you asked that question about spouses. And I think that for them, they really helped set the example for me and how a young leader and their spouse communicate with subordinates, peers, and superiors, both in a private kind of setting, but also out in the public eye.
Well, that's great examples. Always have good leaders out there kind of setting the tones. It's something you can follow, and it sounds like you had that. So that's awesome. So what about a sergeant who lives in the barracks? You know, this individual, he or she is living among the troops and interacting with the troops on a daily basis. And it's kind of hard for them living in the barracks to be in that fishbowl. What advice do you give them, and how do they lead by example there at their home? I mean, that's basically where they live.
Sure. And I say it's still the same. It's still setting the example for your soldiers. If you think about it, on a deployment or in the field, soldiers in a unit all live and work together. If you're deployed someplace, Iraq or Afghanistan as an example, as we were doing, you know, 12, 15 month deployments, 9 months now in many places around the world, you know, leading by example does not stop after 1700 hours, or leading by example does not stop during your off-duty time when you're in your hooch. It still applies. It's a 24/7. It's how you conduct yourself. It applies over a four-day weekend, even when you're 1,000 miles away from your unit. So conducting yourself professionally is the first thing that I always say. And then the second piece of that is treating people with dignity and respect. That's one of those kind of lines that you don't cross, and you always maintain that leading by example posture.
I've always said, you know, do the right thing even when nobody's watching. And that would apply if you're 1,000 miles away from your base or from your troops.
Yep.
You still need to do the right thing even when nobody's watching. Coming
sure.
out on a police report or something like that is not doing the right thing.
So. That's right. When you say when nobody is watching, I mean, this is the mark of a disciplined organization. And if you look at the way we're moving forward now with Army doctrine towards mission command, you know, if you look at platoon leaders today, platoon leaders within a platoon, they'll have four or five missions ongoing simultaneously. You'll have the sergeant and the staff sergeant levels with their piece of the Army. Those young non-commissioned officers will be out there executing missions. So again, this goes back to the mission command piece of it.
Oh, you're exactly right. Yeah.
You know, you understand commander's intent. You understand that going forward, what is the end state of the mission for that young non-commissioned officer? So in the absence of communication, the absence of orders, you continue to move on and continue to do the right thing. So leading by example is especially important back in garrison, because that's where you teach what right looks like. That's where you teach discipline. And it becomes especially important then when you get into a deployed theater, because once you're deployed and you're fragmented across the battlefield, you can't fix yourself. At that point, you know, you're already dispersed. And,
right.
So at that point, it's really, you know, those young non-commissioned officers have to be able to rely on what they've been taught and what they've learned in garrison.
I'm sure you experienced this as well, but I used to be teaching things over repetition. But when it came out to executing the mission, whether I was there or not, that repetitive process paid off and they were able to do, you know, always doing the right thing. So let's switch gears here a little bit. And can you give us your thoughts on, you know, leading by example as it applies to social media? That's how these young people communicate today, those young leaders out there. Everybody's on social media. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So social media is especially important for leaders to set the example. I mean, right now, today, all of our young people are interacting on social media. A perfect example is the use of profanity. We know that profanity is not acceptable in our work environment, and we have worked very hard in the Army over the years to clean up our language. You cannot lead by example during duty hours and then later, after duty hours, on social media, do the exact opposite. Leading by example means being the role model for how you conduct yourself for those young soldiers who come from the far corners of our country and everywhere in between. It's about setting the right tone for how those soldiers interact with each other and how they carry themselves. Because ultimately, you know, the most important thing that happens within a platoon is to grow sergeants. So as you're growing those young soldiers up to become non-commissioned officers, it's important that you set the right temperament and show them what right looks like. You know, all of us in the Army and really across all the armed forces, we hold ourselves to a higher standard above our civilian counterparts. And this is why the trust of the American people in the members of our military is so high. So it really goes back to leading by example. And social media is one of those things that's out there for everybody, the world, to see.
Oh, yeah. I used to tell people, once you hit send, you're no longer in charge. In this case, once you hit post, it's out there forever. And whether you think it is not or just your friends, I will tell you that all people share, right? And it goes from one group of friends to another group of friends to another group of friends. And pretty soon, your stuff's out there, so you can't bring it back. So how does leading by example come into play when sending emails to leaders? I mean, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but this is just another form of written communication, another form of communication.
Yep.
So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, one, I mean, you know, you go step outside the boundaries of what you do during the duty hours, during duty day, you can be held accountable for things that you do on social media. So that's the first thing I'll say up front. But
Right. Really,
I mean, it comes down to, you know, it's loyalty and professionalism. Everyone will make a mistake sometimes in life. And I'll give an example. So let's say that I'm still in uniform, I'm out there, and, you know, I don't notice it, but, you know, one of the buttons on my pockets have come unbuttoned or something. And we expect non-commissioned officers to make on-the-spot corrections. You know, you come up and say, excuse me, Sergeant Major, but your pocket's unbuttoned. And of course, the correct response is, thank you very much. I didn't realize it was unbuttoned. You make the on-the-spot correction, you button your pocket. So the same thing also applies for when you're out there and you're posting things. And it's really about setting the example and reminding somebody when they step out of line and they step out of those boundaries of where they should be and make that on-the-spot correction. I always default back to treating people with dignity and respect and understanding that certain things that we may think is okay really can be considered offensive and hurtful in the eyes of others. You know, we come from a very, very diverse community as we recruit and bring soldiers in. And it's important
right.
for all of us as leaders to understand all those different sensitivities out there and really clean our act up to be more inclusive so that, you know, we can continue to build these diverse teams. That's the great thing about our Army today is diversity, and that's our strength. And when somebody within that team says, well, I don't think that's what we should say, or I don't think this is, you know, the right message that we're putting out there. That's exactly why we need diversity. So again, it just goes back to treating people with dignity and respect.
Yeah, it's good to have those checks and balances out there and that can be open communication. And you can't, even as a senior leader, when somebody walks up and tells you your pocket's unbuttoned, you just got to accept the fact that your pocket's unbuttoned and button it and not, not have a chip on your shoulder. So let's talk about physical fitness a little bit. Again, leading by example, we have a new Army Combat Fitness test coming out there. It's going to test the will of, of a lot out there and a lot of our leaders. So they need to be able to step up and lead by example. So do they need to be the strong man or the strong woman on the team or squad in order to lead by example?
Well, obviously the short answer is no. But then again, obviously you want to set a good example and a high attainable standard for soldiers to emulate. But I think it's good when you have those soldiers out there who far exceed the physical requirements. It's up to the leader to encourage those star performers to continue their upward climb and at the same time encourage those who need to improve. You know, I always tried to set, as I kind of looked at my platoon as a platoon sergeant going in, and I had some very, very unique star performers. And my goal, obviously, was to get that 300 on the APFT. But you always want to be out there kind of in that 90 percentile, as I call it, the band of excellence. And that way, then, you've got those that are maybe a little bit above the band of excellence, and it's reassuring to them that the things they're doing and where they are in their career is they're at a point of excellence. And at the same time, for those that are a little bit below, they've got something to look forward to and a role model to rise to move up into that band of excellence and be a good soldier.
Ooh. So along those lines, how does technical competency fit into leading by example?
So as a young specialist, now I'll use this as my example. So as a young specialist and then a newly promoted sergeant, I was fortunate through that period in my career as a brand new PB2 when I arrived in the unit all the way up to a specialist, was that I had a lot of non-commissioned officers with a lot of technical expertise, and they were all good teachers. And much of what I learned, of course, by their encouragement, by sending me before boards, so there was, you know, a lot of effort toward self-development, self-study. So I was able to read the technical manuals, the operator's manuals, and other kind of special publications, which allowed me to become very smart, as I call it, a technical expert for that skill level 10 role that I had in my career field. But then what I realized after that was when I became that young sergeant, all the things that I learned, you know, in those couple years climbing up to that rank, really what that did was it afforded me now the opportunity to be a good teacher. Because I could take all the things that I've learned, take that little piece of the Army that I'm responsible for, and now teach them and make them as well-educated and knowledgeable about the equipment as I was when they were that age. You know, one of the things that, you know, whenever I've done professional development events in the past, not only as a Sergeant Major of the Army, but as a Command Sergeant Major and First Sergeant, when I was had the opportunity to teach at the armor school, there was a sign at the north end of the hall when you left the building. And it was really there for the purpose of the students that were going through the non-commissioned officer education courses.
Sure. Yeah.
But the sign said, the knowledge that you gain here is not solely yours to keep, but yours to take and impart onto others in your units and your organization. And I've always taken that to heart, so that the knowledge and education that you gain, really what you do is you take that and then you give it back. And you take that piece of the Army you're responsible for and you try to make it better.
Yeah, you don't want to be stingy.
Yep.
You want to share that well.
And that's part of leading by example.
Exactly right. So, SMA, we talked quite a bit about leading by example and what it means to be a good leader. The last podcast, we had talked with SMA Daily about the new evaluation system. So as my wrap-up question for this, can you tell our listeners out there how leading by example and doing the right things, whether it's in physical fitness or just in your daily activities and social media, the impact that that's going to have on them as they move into this new evaluation system? You know, because now they're being looked at a little differently now, so it's going to have a little bit of an impact on them. What advice do you have for out there?
Again, it goes back to leading by example. It's, as you look at, for our senior non-commissioned officers, it's really about merit-based versus time and grade, time and service. We've always wanted that system. When you go through and you do the selection panels on the promotion boards, and each panel out there for each different MOS, as they go through and they evaluate the non-commissioned officers in that pay grade that they're looking at for promotion, they were always racked and stacked from number one all the way down to, you know, whatever the list was. So if there were 1,000 people on the list, you may have 950 that were fully qualified for promotion. And they were rank ordered from number one to number 950. And then, of course, based on the promotions, they say, okay, we're going to need 300 promoted this year. They would come down, they'd draw the cut line at 300. And those top 300 non-commissioned officers would be the ones to get promoted. And if you think about it, they are the best qualified, most deserving in that particular order. But what we did in the past was we would reshuffle the deck and reorder them based on time of service, time and grade. That young non-commissioned officer that perhaps was in the secondary zone that was selected early for promotion, obviously he or she did very well when they were looked at based on their records and their performance of duty. So they would have actually scored very high on that list, but because their time of service, time of grade, they were actually put to the bottom. So that change, I think, is going to be very good. And it's going to allow now those younger leaders who have performed very well to get promoted early. So for all of our non-commissioned officers out there, I say that it's about leading by example. It's about taking that piece of the Army that you're responsible for and making that piece of the Army better than it was before you got there.
Well, there you have it, listeners. SMA, I appreciate it. This has been a great podcast. Appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining. Be sure to subscribe to Army Matters Podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. Keep it locked here for all Army Matters and for next week's episode with Army Real Talk. AUSA is the U.S. Army's professional association, a voice for the Army and support for the soldier. For more information about AUSA or to become a member, visit AUSA.org.